This daily program is fully devoted to coming alongside listeners like you to give you the tools needed for a successful walk with God. As one of our loyal listeners, would you be willing to become an equipper? Your monthly contribution will be applied to equipping others all across the country. Plus, as an equipper, I'll send you regular emails that contain brief pastoral messages prepared just for you. To become an equipper now, call 888-644-4144 or go online to equipradio.org.
Hey there, I'm Jamin Baxter, and I serve Moody Radio as the Director of Business Development. Our team's job is to find businesses that love Moody Radio and Jesus Christ and want to support the work we do financially, just like you. Today, I'd like to introduce you to United Faith Mortgage. Simply put, they are a faith-focused mortgage team serving clients across the United States. They've put together a team with Christian values, with faith and family at the core. They know that this is arguably the most important purchase of your life. Check out the top five things you should know about United Faith Mortgage at unitedfaithmortgage.com. Thanks to you and United Faith Mortgage for supporting Moody Radio.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am absolutely thrilled that you've joined us today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We've been praying for you. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. With that, I welcome you into what will be a very encouraging and equipping edition of the program. You know, all of us who are moms and dads out there, even grandparents, want to do our best to raise children, kids that are happy, that are confident, and that are productive. But yet sometimes it can feel like only super parents are able to do this. These parents with some special added extraordinary skills, certainly not the average mom and dad. Many of us feel like we're just trying to play catch up or just trying to survive. But the fact of the matter is all of us can raise resilient kids, kids who are confident, kids who are happy, kids who are joy-filled, if we just practice some basic principles that we're going to talk about today. So if you have a child that's out there and you want to help them to be that kind of joy-filled, confident, and productive child, then today's your program. If you're grandma, grandpa, you need to listen in as well, because as I've said many times on this program, grandparents are the second most important people in the life of a child. Today we're going to talk about what does it take to raise joy-filled kids. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a great resource. It's entitled The Four Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids, A Simple Model for Developing Your Child's Maturity at Every Stage. One of the co-authors of this book, Christopher Corsi, is with me today. Chris Corsi is an ordained minister, a pastoral counselor, published author, and an international speaker. You know, for over 20 years, Chris has been testing, creating, and practicing brain-based solutions to make relationships work. He and his wife, Jen, and the design team over at Thrive Training Program have been using brain-based exercises to train leaders and families and communities in the 19 relational skills. It's absolutely awesome, and I thought it would be great to have him on today. He has such a passion for helping people acquire the skills to make relationships work, and that's why he's poured himself into this new project, The Four Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids. Hey, Chris, how are you, brother?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's so good to be here with you.
Hey, talk a little bit about what you guys do over at Thrive. I've shared a little bit in the introduction and how this particular book came into existence.
Yeah, my wife and I basically run training events where we are helping people learn relational skills. And these are skills that ideally we learn many the first 3 years of life. And as we know, you know, life's not always perfect. And so many of us don't learn these skills during that early window of time. So the good news is God created our brain where we can learn these important skills later in life. So we do lots of training and just creating resources to really help people have a language for these skills, as well as be able to strengthen these skills and even learn new skills. So my friend Marcus and I decided, you know what, this is really important stuff for parents. We're both parents. My wife and I have two sons, and Marcus and his wife have a son and a daughter. And we said, you know what, it's God created us for joy, and families ideally should be where joy blossoms. And so we wanted a book that would not only give a language, but provide some context for what is this joy stuff all about, and how can we help our children not only start some joy, but hold on to that joy throughout their life and be able to live in the joy that the Lord has for them as well.
Chris, one of the great studies of theology you'll know is the composition or constitution of man. How did God design us? And, you know, if you're a Christian, you fall into one of two camps, and that is that either we are trichotomous, spirit, soul, and body, or dichotomous, at least, body and soul. But certainly we're not just one. But yet, as I talk to most Christians who are conservative biblically, they would affirm, hey, we are spirit, soul, and body. Yet so often when it comes to relational skills, we only talk about the spirit of a person, the soul of a person. Quite often we don't talk about the physical realities that go into that. How did you get into brain science, and why is that so important for this discussion?
Yeah, you said it well. And you know what? Joy is one of those topics that as we start to learn about, we can see how God's hand really is in this process of creating us for joy. And so I worked with a fellow named Jim Wilder, who really, he's called a neurotheologian. So he looks at how God designed the brain. And he says, well, if you know, neuroscientists are saying the brain is made for joy or wired for joy, surely the Bible should say something about joy. And so he merges these two fascinating topics. And when I first met Jim, I was working as a pastoral counselor, just, you know, pastoring a small congregation, working with people in lots of pain. And one of the things that happens with pain and trauma is we lose our joy. And so I was highly motivated to help people learn how to find more joy and build more joy in their lives, and even to discover that we have a God who delights in us, a God who's glad to be with us. And that's good news.
Maybe you look at your children today and you say, man, they're not joy-filled, and neither am I. This is exactly why we want to have Chris on with us. We're going to take your questions through social media throughout this program. So please go there now, Facebook and Twitter, Equip Radio. You can find out more about the resource as well, The Four Habits of Raising Joyful Kids. And as always, the website is available to you, equipradio.org. Okay, Chris, I want to ask you the million-dollar question, the question that I'm sure everyone who's listening right now wants to know the answer to. Why is parenting so hard?
Boy, that's an excellent question. And you know what? I remember bringing my home son, my son home from the hospital with my wife, and just remembering, like, what do I do with this new baby? Like, this is, you know, where's my roadmap?
Where's the owner's manual?
Exactly. Like, how do I do this? And, you know, every loving parent wants what's best for their child, right? We want what's best, and we want to do the best job that we can. But as I quickly discovered with my children, I wasn't really equipped to raise my children for joy and to develop maturity. And so there's so much on the line for us parents because we want to do this job well. If we do anything, we want to get this right. But there's a lot of pressure, and many of us just we've downloaded whatever our family had to give us, and they, you know, our families do often do the best that they can, but even that's not enough. And so we all have these deficits and these gaps in our own maturity. And so, you know, parenting just requires so much giving and so little receiving in the beginning. And so I think many parents just feel the strain and the pressures and the demands of raising a child, trying to put food on the table and provide. And, you know, our children grow physically, but they also grow emotionally and mentally. And so that's the part that sometimes gets neglected in our parenting. Just we see our children, being bigger, but emotionally speaking, they continue to grow every day emotionally. And just like our bodies need good nutrients and minerals and vitamins, you know, emotionally speaking, we also need some important ingredients. And it just so happens that one of those foundational ingredients is joy. And growing joy requires that we have some joy in our own lives. And you know what? On a daily basis, when you're tired or you're sick or things are going wrong, it's really hard to hold on to joy with your children. And so we hope that this book would provide some very practical ways families can grow some joy, hold on to joy, and really live with that awareness of God's joy and God's peace in our lives as well.
Yeah, you know, I want to make sure that I'm clear, and I love your answer. You know, earlier I talked about how certainly we're more than just the spiritual side of us. We have to recognize that God, who in his wisdom made us, he made us spirit, soul, and body. So we need to understand what you describe as the neurochemical reality of joy. But certainly we're not less than spiritual stuff. So we should know what scripture says. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So certainly a relationship with the Lord is absolutely critical and foundational to us understanding and experiencing a joy-filled life. But I feel like we've gone too far in this conversation without defining terms, because I'm concerned that some people are going to hear us and think that, man, I get this book, I read it, I apply the practices, and my kids are going to laugh and be happy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. You're not defining joy as simply laughter and happiness, are you?
No, you're exactly right. You know what? It helps to make this distinction, because many of us, you know, we just tend to think joy is the same as happiness. And, you know, brain science tells us that's not the case. So happiness is circumstantial. I'm happy because a new movie's coming out that I can go see with my family. Joy is the relational experience. So we can be glad to be together, whether we're doing something that's fun and meaningful, or even if we're going through a hard time together and we're suffering. Joy is, you know what, I'm glad you're here with me. And so as a family, we can learn to hold on to this relational glad to be togetherness, whether it's a good day or a bad day. And, you know, and I grew up kind of learning and believing that Jesus was always mad at me. I had a little bit of a distortion in how I understood the Bible. And I can remember the day, clearly as it was yesterday, this when I had the realization that God, we have a God who's glad to be with us. He delights in his people. Yeah. And just that realization that not only is God glad to be with his people and he longs for that relationship with us, but even as families, we can learn to hold on to this glad to be together joy, even if it's been a hard day and we're all tired or we're all just struggling. We can still be glad to be together. I'm glad that you're here with me and that I'm not alone going through this.
You know, many of our listeners know a few years ago, my wife and I, our oldest son, passed away. And I'll never forget being in counseling, grief counseling, and being hit with a question that forced me to have to revisit and in many ways reconstruct my theology. I was sitting across from a counselor, and I have a phenomenal grief counselor. We still see him to this day. And he asked me, "Chris, is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with you?" Now, I paused just long enough for him to pick up on the fact that there was something missing there. If you would have asked me prior to that, "Chris, does God love you? Has he justified you? Are you forgiven? Are you a part of God's family?" I knew all the answers to those. But the pleasure of God, this want to be with you or glad to be with you that you talk about, that was something I really had not developed in my theology that, praise God, since that tough question, I've been able to do. So I love that you are really focused in on this type of what I would call relational resiliency. Yes. This sense of, hey, adversity will come, but if we have the right practices in place, the ABCDs, as you guys describe them, if we have them in place, then we'll be able to have relational resiliency. Hey, we got to go to a break, but I do want to share a verse, Chris, that has been one of my favorites when it comes to this whole thought of relational resiliency. And it's Psalm 126:5, which simply starts this way: "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. You know, there are times in our lives where there will be tears. Maybe you're in the throes of it right now. I remember my wife being in a season where we had three kids all under the age of five, and she's changing diapers left and right, and I'm alongside of her. Those are overwhelming seasons, but God will bring you through by His grace. But there's also practical things you can do to fill your life with joy and to help your children to be joy-filled. We're going to talk to Chris about that on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. The fun has just begun. We're going to have a lot more on the other side of this break. Next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. In his book, Healing Family Relationships, Dr. Rob Reno lays out a practical and spiritual game plan for parents, grandparents, and children who long to see their families made whole again. Learn to cultivate forgiveness, grace, and peace during seasons of family brokenness, sin, and spiritual warfare. Get your hands on this valuable resource when you support Equip with a gift of any amount. Call 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Can I just take a moment to say thank you to all of our awesome supporters out there? If you're praying for us, if you're standing with us financially, we're so grateful for you. It's your generosity and God's grace that allows us to be here each and every day to equip Christians to live, share, and defend their faith. As we come to the end of another month, we're really close to our budgetary goal. As a matter of fact, just a few thousand dollars away. Maybe you've been listening and we've been an encouragement to you. Now would be a great time for you to invest in the ministry of Equip. The phone number is 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. We'll send you, as a way of saying thank you, a copy of Rob Reno's wonderful book, Healing Family Relationships. We want to see your family healthy and strong. We all know what it's like to go through family tensions. It is possible for those to be healed, no matter how severe they are. Rob Reno shows us the way. Why don't you call today, 888-644-4144. For many of you, this is an answer to prayer. So a gift of any size, we'll send it out to you. Go to our website if it's easier, equipradio.org. Today, I'm so happy to have Chris Corsi with me. He is the co-author of a wonderful book, The Four Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids. He co-authored it with Marcus Warner, one of the friends of the program. All right, you say that raising joy-filled kids is as simple as A, B, C, D. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, my co-author Marcus and I tried to keep this, you know what, easy to remember. And we came up with A, B, C, D. And the A just stands for we attune with our children. And we attune by sharing the upset so that our children learn that they're not alone in the midst of the big feelings that they have. So A, attune. B is to build bounce. So now we learn to bounce back from our upsets. So we help our children learn how to get back to joy from their fear or their despair or their shame, whatever it is that they're feeling. And the C is correct with care. So what that means is we keep relationships bigger than problems. And so we learn to stay relational and guide our children. And, you know, it's not just behavior modification that we're focusing on. It's actually character formation. And so we correct in ways that we learn how to keep that relationship intact, even under some tough conditions. And the D is for develop disciplines relationally. So we help our children learn important skills along the way at all the different stages of life so that as they grow older, they have disciplines, they have certain skills that they've learned, just not only self-care skills, but you know, it's like I learned to do the dishes growing up and my wife is so thankful that my family made me do the dishes every night.
That's right. That's good. Hey, let me say, there are different generations of parents that are listening to us. A lot of things you just described, many would maybe consider to be new school parenting, if you will. Mm-hmm. Old school parenting, and maybe you experienced some of this. I know I did, and that is, hey, you're a child. You speak when spoken to. I'll never forget the first time mm-hmm. I said to my parents, I feel stressed. You would have thought that I used a four-letter word. You know, what do you mean you feel stressed? You don't have a mortgage. you know, raising a family. You know, my parents are great, and I'm grateful for them. But my point is that for many parents, acknowledging, going back to the attune to your child, acknowledging their emotions is an entirely new skill set. So what happens in a child when we minimize their emotions?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because what happens when we minimize their emotions is basically they feel alone in their upsets. And we now know that the moment I feel alone in my pain, that creates the toughest conditions for my brain to process that experience. And so sharing the upsets means that we read their body language, we recognize what's on their face, what's in their voice tone, and we can validate it, right? So we can say, well, I see that you're really mad because I'm making you do the chores. We still have to do the chores. But what happens when we attune is it basically says, you're not alone. I'm with you here. We're going to get through this together. And this actually, basically, this equips our children to better manage what they feel. And they can find joy and they can find some peace after these big storms of feelings because they've discovered, you know what? I'm not alone in the midst of my frustration. I'm not alone in the midst of my hopelessness for, you know, people see me, people hear me, and I'm going to get through this together. And so we stay connected.
You know, I think we all know what it's like as adults to be in a room full of people and still feel alone. And I think that helps us to know that loneliness is not a matter of how many people are in the room with you. Loneliness really comes down to who are you making deep emotional connection with. And so often our kids can be in a house full of family members and still feel alone. So what I love about your book is it really helps us to connect deeply on an emotional level. I wonder, too, though, Chris, is part of the challenge for some parents that we're expecting too much from our children emotionally?
You know what? I think that's spot on, you know, and it's very easy to do because oftentimes our own families might have expected too much from us. And so whether we like it or not, we were downloaded some things that's going to make it hard to change when we're parenting. And I know for me, this has been a struggle because I had high expectations on my children. And it's easy to forget that no matter how big they are physically, emotionally, you know what? Sometimes we still have to be tender with those struggles and tender with those weaknesses. And so those are places where joy can grow and spread. And so finding expectations that are realistic for the age and the stage of life. And I often tell parents, just one example is children under the age of 3, they don't understand negative commands. And so when you say, don't stand on the counter, what they hear is blank, stand on the counter. And so, you know, the brain,
that
the
explains
brain doesn't
a lot.
Understand. It does explain a lot.
That is what you just helped me a ton. You have no idea. Oh, wow. There we go.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, that just the brain is not equipped yet to process negative commands. And so we have to learn, even as parents, you know, how do we say something in a positive manner? So maybe we say, let's keep our feet on the floor, right? Instead of don't stand on the table or the counter. Let's keep our feet on the floor. And that they can track a little easier because otherwise they learn to read our nonverbals. If we say don't stand on the table, they're going to notice they're doing something wrong, but they're not quite sure what because they're hearing they should stand on the table. So it's very confusing. But that helps to understand some of these little brain points that how God wired the brain to work. Now, as we get older, then we can understand negative commands and it makes more sense. But young children just can't understand those negative commands. That's a big deal.
I love it. All right, we're going to get to bounce in just a moment because I love the B in this. This is, for me, as a former basketball player, the whole thought of rebounding is really big. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But let's help with one exercise that you do as an adult that helps you to be more relational. What is one exercise you would recommend? And the reason why I bring this up, Chris, is because I think that raising joy-filled kids starts with being a joy-filled parent. So what is one exercise that you do that really helps?
You know what? One of the probably the best exercises that parents can do is pausing, especially if they're noticing they're really upset or really mad, pausing for just a couple minutes, breathing and thinking about moments of joy in their life. So if I'm really frustrated with my child, before I even try to interact, I'm going to take a moment. I'm just going to breathe. And I'm going to try to think about and reflect on just a special joy moment that God has given me in my life. And just the act of pausing and reflecting on those special moments, your brain responds as though you're reliving the moment all over again when you think about it, when you remember it, when you feel it. And so that is probably one of the best exercises parents can do, even if they have to keep a little appreciation journal to just open up their journal or look on their phone and remember some of those joyful moments. That actually gets our relational brain back online so that we're present, we're anchored, and we're feeling hopefully peaceful by that point.
That's really good. And it's really good to do when you're in the driveway after a long day. Mm-hmm. You pull in from work. Before you just bring all of that in the house, I'm telling you, one of the best things that I've learned to do over the years, and I don't know if it was something that someone taught me or more just happened naturally, is to pause about 5 minutes before I hit that garage door opener to lift the garage door and go running in. It helps me to kind of transition from the stress of the workday into wanting to relationally connect with my wife, with my kids, with my family. And so throughout the book, it is really good to read not only the things that we can encourage our kids to do, these A, B, C, and Ds, but also some exercises we can do as well to be more joy-filled. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the art of the bounce back. How do we bounce back after very difficult challenges come into our lives? How do we develop kids who are joy-filled, who understand how to build bounce? Chris is going to help us to learn that skill. But for now, I want to encourage you, go to our website. It's equipradio.org, equipradio.org. Friends, if you have not already made plans to add the 4 Habits of Raising Joyful Kids to your library, I encourage you to do so today. Ordering information is there. Also, social media is available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Go to Equip Radio on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. So grateful for each and every one of you that are listening today. I want to say a special thank you to our monthly partners who helped to make this program possible. Got a new monthly partner recently, Michelle from Fairbanks, Arkansas. Thank you so much for your partnership in the gospel. You are awesome. Listen, many of you are blessed by the program. We hear from you. I'm so grateful for your feedback. Today, I would ask that you would consider financially partnering with us. If God has blessed you and you want to stand with us with a gift of any amount, please go to our website now or call 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Well, are you looking for a simple model for developing your child's maturity at every stage? Do you want a child that is relationally resilient, a child that is able to bounce back after setbacks? Well, today we're talking about how to do that with Chris Corsi. Chris is co-author with Marcus Warner of this wonderful book, The 4 Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids. One of the things I love about the book, Chris, is the size of the book. You guys wanted to make sure it was accessible, didn't you?
We did. You know, we wanted a book that you could put in your back pocket and carry with you pretty easily. And, you know, what you could read pretty quickly and it wouldn't be too dense.
You know, when I was playing basketball in my younger years, they teach you the fundamentals, how to dribble, how to pass. But one of those fundamentals, especially if you're tall like me, is how to rebound. You think this is not only something for sports, but for our emotions as well. Talk about what it means to build bounce.
Yeah, we really like this kind of word picture of you know, if you ever tried to dribble a basketball that just doesn't have enough air, it's not fun. We got to get some air in that ball so it can bounce. And you know what? As a parent, every day is filled with opportunities to practice bouncing back from our upsets. And so the building bounce step is all about bouncing back to joy. And so we're helping our children learn how to better manage what they feel. I love the Psalm 35 where it says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So we don't have to be afraid of weeping when we know that in my experience, joy is around the corner. And so as for instance, for with infants, they have to learn how to manage their big feelings. And as parents, we're really doing the heavy lifting with our infants. They have these big feelings and they're looking to us to know how do I deal with this? And so we stay connected with them. We help them quiet. We help them get back to joy so that they know they're not alone in these big feelings. And with children, we do a little sequence Marcus and I call VCR, which just means we validate, we comfort, and then we recover from the big upset. So
that's really
so validate, you know, validation is just, I see that you're really mad about this. So I see you, I hear you, I understand. And then the comfort is, okay, what do you need here? This upset, this is obviously really upsetting for you. Do you need some space? You know, what is it that you need? So we keep in mind, they still have to do the chores or the things that they have to do, even if they don't like it. But what we're training them is, you know what, I can feel the storm of these big feelings. It won't kill me. I stay connected. You know, people are connected with me in my big upsets. I can quiet these feelings. And, you know, more of the technical term is just we're training our children to become adults who can regulate their own emotions.
Yeah, self-regulation is something that you talk about extensively in the book, which I absolutely love. You know, here's the thing that I want to make sure we understand. It's the thought that joy, in my opinion, after reading this book, is like a superpower. Now, those kids that are in the superheroes, you know, they all have their superpower, laser vision or invisibility, or they can run at the speed of a train. This sense of joy gives you a special superpower, if you will, as you move throughout life. You guys say this, when kids are motivated by joy, they feel like they can do anything. That's powerful.
You know what it is, and that's good news. You know, as our families and our communities learn, there's very practical ways we can grow joy. And for children, you know, their brain internalizes joy. It is, I love that image, it is a superpower. So we're equipping our children to be superheroes who have this, you know, a confidence and security, and they've learned no matter what happens, joy is around the corner. And there's a lot of confidence and peace that comes from that experience.
All right, we got to get to the C, and that is correction. That's a hard one for a lot of parents, correcting your kids. But you really warn us against toxic correction, and this is something that maybe many of us experienced. Can you talk about how do we correct with care?
Yeah, you know what? This is a big one for parents because again, we get lots of practice, lots of opportunities to correct. And so correcting with care means one, as a parent, you know what, I'm staying relational while I'm correcting my children. I can think of a time I walked into my son's room. He was supposed to be cleaning his room, and instead he was playing a game. And so I validated. I said, wow, I can see you're really enjoying your game right now, aren't you? But then what should you, you know?
So, you're such a better father than me.
I, you know, it's taken some practice.
Yeah, there you go.
So I just, you know what? I see this is really important to you, but what should you be doing? And you know what? There's consequences now because you weren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now you've earned some consequences. So I'm staying relational. Now, you know, my gut would have had me just focus on the problem and get angry and blast him for not doing what I told him to do, right? That modifying behavior. But staying relational says, okay, what's important here, right? So I want him to recognize I see him and I see something's important, but that's not the important thing he should be doing. There's something else. And so we're staying relational in this process. And that really is the key because it's very easy when we, when our relational brain's relational circuit goes off, what that means is I just focus on problems and the people that I normally enjoy feel more like enemies. And so when my relational brain is offline, my children feel more like enemies instead of my children whom I dearly love.
Wow.
And so you know, we're staying relational while we correct. And I liked what you said earlier about sitting in the driveway, taking some time before you go in the house. That's a beautiful picture of even what it can look like with correcting, is just taking a moment, catch your breath, get relational, and then go ahead and do the correcting. And there's still consequences. There's still, it doesn't mean that, you're glad with what your child is doing, but it says, I see you. I still love you, but I'm very mad, or I'm very sad, or I'm very disappointed. And so we're keeping relationships bigger than problems. And that's really helps to mold our child's character so that they do become better listeners. They do learn how to be polite. They do learn consequences. All of the things that we really want our children to learn, it just means we're showing them this is who we are. We stay relational when we're upset. We remember who we are when big feelings happen, and we're not listening and obeying and so forth. And that really does really help to mold that character. And in a sense, yes, it's showing our children this is how Jesus handles us. He remembers, yes, who he is, even while we're disobedient or we're unfaithful. Yeah. He still stays relational with us.
You know, it's, in many ways, it's like parenting like we are parented by God. And it's a great, yes, way of thinking about it. I love that analogy. All right, good news. I just got a green light from our producer that I can give away 5 complimentary copies of Marcus and Chris's book, The 4 Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids, right now through social media. So if you are listening and you are a friend, or maybe you have never connected with us via social media before, do it right now. Let us know that you're interested in getting a copy of The 4 Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids, a simple model for developing your child's maturity at every stage. And oh, by the way, it'll develop yours as well. That's the secret of the book. I want you to go to our social media sites, Facebook and Twitter, and you'll find it there. All right, Chris, a couple of really important questions that I think are critical. I'll ask one before this break and then another after. What about infants? What can we do when they're super young?
You know, one of the best things we can do is live in our face. And that means infants' brains are wired to look at our faces and to listen to our voices and to watch our body language. So when one of the best things you can do with infants is light up. Let your face show the joy that you feel when you see them, when you interact with them. And as children build lots and lots of joy, they'll actually look away for a moment to rest and to pause. And so when they look away, let them pause for a moment, then they'll look right back at you and they'll want to build more joy. So live in your face, show the joy that you feel, the glad to be togetherness with your infants. They will blossom. They'll soak that up.
I love that. Live in your face. Show that joy. Light up when they walk into a room. Express your excitement. And I would imagine living in your voice is important as well. And leveraging that voice to be able to express joy around your children. I don't know about you, but I want my children to know that it's such a great joy to be their dad and that I enjoy being with them. And I believe that as we express that, as Chris has said, they'll know it, they'll sense it, they'll see it. All right, we're going to take one final break. But all this does is allow you to go to social media right now. We're going to give away 5 complimentary copies of Chris's book. And I just want to be a blessing to you. I want your children to be joy-filled. I want them to have relational resiliency. And I want you guys to develop a deep commitment to togetherness, enjoying being with each other, no matter what life throws your way. And I can't think of a better gift for me to give to you than this book. And so for 5 of you, you go right now, just request it on social media, leave it in the comment section. We'll pick 5 and we'll let you know. For the rest, don't worry, you still can order it. Go to equipradio.org and you can find out ordering information there. Also, if you want to support the program, dial 888-644-4144. We'll be right back. This daily program is fully devoted to coming alongside listeners like you to give you the tools needed for a successful walk with God. As one of our loyal listeners, would you be willing to become an Equipper? Your monthly contribution will be applied to equipping others all across the country. Plus, as an Equipper, I'll send you regular emails that contain brief pastoral messages prepared just for you. To become an Equipper now, call 888-644-4144 or go online to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Chris Corsi has been an all-star today, helping us with our families, teaching us a simple model for developing your child's maturity at every stage, and giving us the ABCDs of raising joy-filled kids. Chris, so grateful for you. With just a couple moments left, let me ask a couple critical questions. What do you do with maybe a child who is dealing with something more chemical in nature as it pertains to depression and anxiety?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And you know what? God's wired our brain for high energy joy and low energy quiet. And so a lot of things that happen mentally or emotionally usually revolve around it's difficult to get to the high energy states, or it's difficult to do the low energy states, which are the quieting. So keep in mind that every human brain in this world is wired for high energy joy and low energy rest. And we just have to learn to basically develop a rhythm. And so part of helping children stabilize is being able to find that rhythm of joy and rest without it being overwhelming. So for some children, they really struggle with being able to build some joy. They might struggle with eye contact. So finding creative ways that aren't overwhelming to try to grow some of that joy. I can remember when one of our sons, we noticed, didn't really engage us as much as the other one with his eye contact. So we would play games, and I would say, "Hey, are your eyes purple? Let me see your eyes." And so I would play games with him where he would look me in the eye and then we'd look away, and we would, you know, I was trying to get him to see my face, to see some joy. And in less than, 2 weeks, he was very much on the same par with my other child, being able to look at eye contact and keep eye contact and build some joy. Whereas my other child, he actually had tons of joy, but he couldn't quiet. So we had to find ways of helping him to be able to access the low energy quieting states. And so we would play games like laying on the floor and put a book on our belly and see who can make the book go higher as we breathe in and breathe out. So there's practical things that you can do. And I'm a big fan of, making sure your children have counselors if they need help, and just, being resourceful for what your children need. But keeping in mind, their brain is wired for high energy joy that coasts to low energy rest. And as we can help them find that rhythm, a little bit will go a long way.
And this is just an opportunity to also quickly mention how important it is that we as adults stay on top of our mental and emotional health as well. If you're dealing with bipolar disorder, if you deal with depression yourself, hey, don't see that as some type of prison that means that you can't ever get this right. It just simply means that, like your child, you're going to have to manage that. But it is possible for all of us to have appropriate high energy joy and appropriate low energy quiet. And I love that model. All right, let's say one more thing that I think is absolutely critical about joy-filled marriages. I know you have thought a lot about this. If we are in a marital relationship where maybe that is not as in tune with joy as it should be, what impact would that have on a child, and what advice do you want to give to us there?
Yes, that is such an important question, because really our marriages do set the tone in our house for our children. And so my friend Mark and I actually wrote a marriage book with the same themes here of basically, we came up with a little word we called plan. And plan just means the P is for play together. Find practical ways that you and your spouse can play together. That will start some joy, having that quality time together. The L is just for listen for emotions instead of problems. Sharing those highs and those lows with each other and helping each other to feel seen and understood. And then the A is appreciate. So just daily practice appreciation, recognizing God's gifts in your lives and, you know, even appreciating what you enjoy about each other. And the end in plan is for nurturing a rhythm. And so that means just really valuing the high energy joy, the low energy rest, and really trying to find that rhythm for your family, and including activities maybe around meal times where you can share highlights from the day or things that were sad or difficult from the day, and just try to amplify the good stuff. And the good thing that happens here is that when your brain builds joy, it can't help but share that joy. And so as our marriages are healthier, stronger, more joyful, then the good news is that will spill down and impact our children and help grow their joy and their peace as well.
Wow, that's so good. That is so good. All right, one last thing, and I promise you that you will be off the hot seat, but let's talk about where faith plays a role. We've talked about it throughout, but what if somebody's listening to us and they don't have a relationship with Jesus?
You know what? One of the, I think, most exciting things for me as I've studied how God designed the brain is that our brain can grow joy throughout the lifespan. So spending time into the Word, get into the Word, start learning about God, actually meeting with other people where you can ask questions, join a small group, because joy is contagious. And so even as you start going down this road, it's like, okay, God, if you're there, I want to learn more about you. And so, you know, finding a church, just finding a small group you can get connected in where you can ask questions, but especially where you can start growing joy, because we do have a God who's glad to be with his people, and he wants nothing to separate us from his love and his joy. And so, you know, being able to ask questions with other mature believers and being able to actually share life together while you ask those questions can really help to grow your joy as you discover that joy is a high value. And Jesus even prayed for the disciples to have his joy in the book of John and to have it to the full, to the max. And so this is an exciting journey, both with the fellowship with your community, but importantly, more importantly, with the living God who's glad to be with his sheep.
He designed us, right? He made us, and he understands us better than we understand ourselves. He has called us to have his joy. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so as we are connected to our Creator, the lover of our souls, then we will know joy. And one of the reasons often that we don't know joy is because sin is persistent in our lives. Yeah. And we don't have the power internal to ourselves to break the sin habits or patterns in our lives. We need enablement from the Holy Spirit. And so that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But here's the wonderful thing. You can have that relationship today. The Bible teaches us that if we believe that he is the Son of God, if we can trust and have faith in his offer of salvation, and we can turn from our sins, repenting, turning to Christ for salvation, that we can be saved. So today, acknowledge him, believe upon him, and confess your sins, and he will become Lord of all. And that extra superpower of joy can be yours today. Chris, what a blessing it's been to be with you, brother. Thank you for all that you do. Please tell Marcus we said hello, and we can't wait to see how God uses the four habits of raising joy-filled kids.
Yes, thank you, Chris. So good to be here with you.
God bless, brother. Listen, for everyone else, 5 complimentary copies available. Go to social media today. For the rest, order at equipradio.org. Find out ordering information there. Until we're together again next time, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.